Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to an express edition of Black Opinions Matter. A lot of stuff happened in the last couple of days, as I'm sure everybody knows. We're going to keep it light to start with, and then we'll end up with the somber news at the end. Start with this week's episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm here with Black Trey. John Gervais will be joining us in a little bit. Rob on the production. Trey, I didn't like this episode as much as episode one.
Nah, man, I have no idea if anything's going to top episode one. That shit came out smoking hot. But I did laugh. I will say that.
I laughed. I laughed, man. You know what it felt like? It felt like I said last week, and this week made it feel even more so. So last week, I thought the episode was funny, but the number of jokes they were trying to get off without kind of regard for fit or flow made it feel like Larry was a rapper that went to prison, and then he wrote a bunch of really dope content material. Came out, that first album was like, brah, oh my God, because it's been sitting on years of honing this. And then now album two is coming out, and it's like, the material, not as strong as album one. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, dude, this, it was cool, you know, not the sophomore jinx, but for the most part, I thought, man, the Cancer Friend Pack was wild. Because I just couldn't imagine, for one, anybody just being dickheads like that. But for the type of platform or nature of the conversation to welcome, Larry David is the one to introduce that. And you know what I mean? Like, it was hilarious because they're going around the room like, look, bro, you get it. I don't fucking know you.
Yeah, but what I love about this episode was there's a bunch of times when someone says something that should be normally very offensive to anybody, but especially Larry. Larry, you think he's most sensitive, but he seemed to be very understanding about it. He nodded like, oh, okay, word. So, like, when they're talking about the cancer bags, and the one dude said, my daddy got cancer, I stopped talking to him too. Did he die? I don't know.
Yo,
oh man,
ghosting your cancer homie is crazy. Like, yeah, could you imagine? Funny, like, man. I'd be like, yo, I got prostate cancer. And then niggas is like, well, figure it out on your own. I can't be your friend, bro. You know, it's tough dealing with that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because honestly, like, I mean, you know, as brutally honest that is, most people don't know how to be the supportive friend in that. Like, you don't know. No. You don't know what the fuck to say.
Oh, man. I'm the worst, man. And I have a couple of friends who have been cancer survivors. And I'm just like, every conversation I have with them is kind of like, oh, and everything, you know, everything good. Like, I don't know how to have that conversation in an adult manner. And then, it's just, I don't know. Like, it was one of those things where, like, when that shit was happening on the show, I was like, yeah, I kind of see it. I kind of understand. I get it. By the way, the episode opened with Larry with his lawyer going over the sexual harassment lawsuit filed on him by his assistant Alice, he said something along the lines of, "Oh man, if they try to get me, I'm just gonna have to leave the country." So he thought about moving to Canada because I heard, quote, "It's nice over there." If you had to leave the country, where would you move to?
I don't really like traveling abroad like that, so I'm gonna have to say Canada.
I'm saying like somewhere where you'd have to live, not leave the country for like a trip, right?
Yeah, Canada, easy move. Cause it's like, all right, I still got the outside looking in. I don't have to really relearn anything. And, you know, it's still kind of outside of the United States, but like still cool. Like, I'm still getting the American vibes.
Man. Oh man, I've moved to Australia or New Zealand.
See, I can't, I ain't never been. I just heard about it.
I've never been either.
I'm
but
cool on Vegemite though, mate.
But hey, man, they speak English. Here's the way I look at it. They speak English and the weather ain't cold.
Fair. That like the that's two fair. So that's kind of. So it's basically the non-racist Phoenix bet.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, some would argue it's just like Phoenix.
There you go. What about the wobbly table epidemic?
Yeah, you know, I kind of like it, man. I'm like, it's
I don't high. Like wobbly tables, so I relate it right then and there.
Yeah, I relate too, but it's just like, I don't know if like that's. I don't want this to be in every episode. I would have rather they waited a couple episodes and they drop it again.
Yeah,
like that. Like,
that's fair.
The lawyer won't let him use his personal bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And Larry, to which Larry says, I'm like a murderer going in there. I will expunge all evidence. the thing that made me laugh, the guy was like, no, you got to go to the other side or whatever, was on Sunday when I'm flying from New York to Phoenix, I had to go really bad. Like, I was in the Uber.
Oh, wow.
Like, my bladder is full. Get to the airport, run up to, like, security line. I looked at the line. I'm like, yeah, it's too long for me to want to wait through that line. So I looked, there goes the restroom. So I turn and I start moving. And the TSA, or not the TSA lady, but, like, the airport security person, like, sir, you can't go that way. I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. They're like, yes, but you have to walk all the way around. I don't know if you've ever been in that terminal JFK where it's like the long row of
the one we were running in.
No.
No, that was
inside.
LaGuardia, right?
No, that was JFK, but that was inside. I'm on the outside. I haven't even gone to security. So like, you know where you check your bags and the different airline things is that long counter, right?
Yeah.
You have to go all the way around it on the backside to get to the same bathroom that's like 2 feet away.
Oh wow.
And so she said, you gotta go. I was like, I can't do that. And I'm walking towards like, sir. I'm like, I can't do that. She's like, sir. And I just start running towards the bathroom, right through everything. And I was like, yo, if they're going to arrest me, at least let it be with my bladder empty. I'm not going to be arrested out here trying to pee on myself. So I just ran into that bathroom. But I totally felt like the whole, like, you can't go that way. Like, I just want to fucking take a leak, man. I'm not trying to.
Yeah, like, I ain't trying to do nothing extra. Just let me do my thing, man. Hey, also, you know what I learned? And which you're probably going to hit me with the really? The side seat is intimate.
Side sitting. Yeah.
That's intimate. Or is it in the white community only?
I would say this: like, I have never side sat like Larry did, moving the chair over. The way I side sit is, I would have got up and sat next to Cheryl.
Right, there you go. Just like, sure, literally sit next to somebody, but like, yeah, not that to is the side. Though.
That is you about to make a move.
I will say though, if you're doing that at a restaurant, it's kind of weird.
What, the chair or sitting next to somebody?
Sitting next to somebody, like when you're on a date, like it's just you two.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Let me look across from you. Wait.
And as like somebody who worked in a restaurant, like I will gladly admit, all the servers are judging you guys for side seaters. That's what we call them.
If you're in a booth. Like in a booth, not like the way it was where it's kind of cramped and there's a lot of other tables, but like
in a booth, don't do it.
You can't sit on the same side.
I'm looking at you crazy if you're sitting on the same side in a booth.
You're looking at me crazy. As long as you're not looking at what my hand is doing, we all good.
Hey, if there's a mission happening, okay, do your thing. But if it's, you know, just y'all two just sitting there.
Oh yeah.
But Rob, yeah. Isn't that the point of every date? Like, it's the mission, right?
I mean, at a restaurant?
Some people just go, just like, oh, it's good, something to eat. And then they, yeah. Like, I'm trying to, like, escalate the moment if I do that.
Right. If you got business getting taken care of, that's another thing. But if y'all on a date, no.
I'm going to give away some game. And you know what? I hope that nobody I've ever talked to is listening to this. Because they're like, oh, he did that. Like, this is what you do. You sit down regular style. If you're in a restaurant and then you pretend like it's so loud, I can't hear you. And then you go and you sit next to her and you see under the pretense like, oh, now I can hear so much better. But now the mood is a lot more intimate, a lot more proximity. And then you take it from there. That's right.
I've done that.
Oh, on purpose or like you've actually like not heard well?
No, on purpose.
There you go.
Like in the history of restaurants, I've always heard well.
In the history of restaurants, you've always heard well.
Yeah, like unless I'm in one of those. I mean, only time you can't really hear well is when you're one of those restaurants late night and they've got music playing.
I'm never trying to talk over loud music anyway. But I don't want to sit. I don't want to sit next to anybody while I'm eating. I don't know. I think that's unless it's group setting.
What?
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, group setting.
Yeah,
oh,
like the man. Group setting. I don't, unless we're like, what you thought I said?
I was like, Trey, what the hell, man?
Wait, what you thought I was talking about? You thought I said group sexing?
Yeah, something.
Oh, wow. No, but I'm just saying, like if I'm eating, I want to eat across from you. I don't want to like look to the side.
Right.
Unless we have like another group of people with us, I don't want to sit like that. I want to be able to mind my business.
Trey, you're actually going to have like dinner and a conversation.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, you know. All right, so among other things, Larry starts. Larry comes back to his lawyer's office, uses the bathroom before lawyer walks in, comes back out, cleans everything up, da da da. Lawyer comes out, looks in the bathroom and says, "Did you use my bathroom?" And Larry's like, "What? No." He's like, "You were asking to use the bathroom." Like, "I was." And you made it pretty clear that you didn't want anyone to use your bathroom. And the lawyer said, "I don't know why this line made me laugh. Your interest was not casual." Because you always know when somebody asking mad questions about something, you're like, why do you care? Like, oh no, I'm just wondering. I'm like, yeah, your interest is not casual. When he comes out, he asks the receptionist, like, has she ever used the bathroom? She admits, yes. He takes a look at the view behind her desk and he says, what a beautiful view. How long did it take you to take it for granted? I think about this shit every time I check into a hotel room. When I go to the window, I look out, I'm like, this view sucks. And that shit will bother me for the rest of the stay. But if I look out the window and the view's amazing, I'm not looking out the window that much more. I'm like, all right, yeah, that's dope. It's same shit, same room. I don't know what it is, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm like you. I check into the hotel. I go, oh, damn, this view's hot. And then I don't think I ever look at the view ever again. The only time, I'll be honest with you, the only time I ever remember being in at all the view was the I think it was, as a matter of fact, it might have been the first summer league I did with you guys.
Yeah.
And we were in the hotel we stayed at. Jade put me on to how to get the crazy room. And I think we had the view of the like the water fountain.
Bellagio. Yeah.
No, the Bellagio. No,
the
brother.
Strip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, I've never stayed in the Bellagio.
That's, no. I'm not staying at the Bellagio. We have a view of the Bellagio. We had a view of the Bellagio. That's where the fountain is. Did you mute? And you forgot? You flipping burgers right now?
Oh, damn. I did. Oh, shit.
You wear like a little like hairnet around your beard while you cooking?
Nah, dude. I'd be fired in the restaurant, hands down. I touch burgers with my hands, all that shit. You're going to get all this love right here. But no, I think with hotels, I'm more in all of the it's going to sound real corny. I'm more in all of the remote control blinds.
Oh, yeah. Me too. It's not corny, man. I like hitting that button and then sitting back and watching it rise up.
Like, yeah. Like, it's like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
I opened the fuck out of those blinds.
Yeah. Oh, man. So Larry hits on the receptionist, at the end of which he says, "And your name is?" So this is my next question. Have you ever gone through the full process of bagging someone and only having to either ask for their name at the end or figure out what their name is through some other means?
Yes.
Tell.
My move would be I would go through the whole process. And shout out to cell phones. And then I realized I don't know the name. So then I would do the, hey, can you put your name and can you put your information in my phone? This is before everyone got lazy. This is before everyone got lazy and they would just put it in the thing, like put it in the dialed area and then just dial their thing.
Oh, no, you got to pull up the contacts thing.
Definitely. Yeah. So, yeah. But once that started happening, I would just do like the, hey, shoot me a text. And then people naturally just shoot you a text and put their name at the end of the text.
No, a lot of, okay. So like I need to do the contact one because I haven't tried that one, but I definitely have gotten the, hey, shoot me a text. And like, hey, it's me. Or like, shit. I've thought about like, how do you spell your name? And I'm like, oh, what if her name is like Beth or Mary or something easy like that? Tina, like, shit.
Is that great. Tina with an I or a Y?
Ooh, yeah, except I don't know what her name is. You know? It's like, I'm going in the dark here. Like, how do you spell your name? Trey, have you ever had that experience?
Repeat the question one more time.
Damn, Trey out here eating. Are you side-sitting while you eating, bro? The question is, Larry went through the whole spit and game routine with the receptionist. And at the very end, he bagged and he got a date, everything. And at the end, he says, oh, by the way, and your name is? And I said, have you ever gone through the entire bagging process only to discover at the end that you haven't gotten a name yet and either ask at the end or figure out some other way?
For sure. I didn't close without a name.
Wow, Trey. Like,
hey,
Trey, you're a legend for that,
Trey.
Oh, my gosh. What the hell?
Nah, man. It was weird times, but...
It was weird times.
It's weird times, man. We ain't talking about that now, but back then, yeah, man. But I also felt like a jerk. You know what I'm saying? Like in them situations where you're like, oh, or they probably told you the name.
But what did you do? What did you do though? Like, how did you discover the name? Or you just said like, you know what? I guess I'll never know her name. I'll just pretend like.
Unless I was put in a situation of got to say bye or. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, all right, then. Like, I wouldn't acknowledge, like, with a name. I would try to, like, get away with it and then try to think about it later.
Just fake your way through it.
There you go.
But, like, there have been instances where you try to fake to remember the name later and you just never remember it again.
Yeah, that was the main thing for me was, like, damn. And I'm snapping. You know how you, like, trying to think you snapping your fingers? Like, dang, like, what is that name? Like, what is her name? I can't think of it, like, literally. Or I'm like bumped into joints, like I just can't think of their name. Like I know her name, man. But yeah.
Wow, that's terrible. Rob, you got any
life of an athlete, brother? That was
Oh wow. Okay, relax.
Jerv's on the right path there with the phone. Just, oh, wait, can I get your number real quick? Or asking how they spell their name, you know?
Let me ask, like, all right, so you and Jerv, have you ever walked away from the interaction realizing I don't know what her name is?
Yes, 100%.
Yes.
100%. Yes. And that's when you learn to do it.
So what did you
do? You know what I mean?
Or did you guys just pick through the interaction?
I think one, well, you mean like completely left and just didn't get the name at all?
Exactly.
I remember one time in college, I just took the L and I was just like, fuck. You know, like
says,
I was just,
what's your name?
Well, yeah.
Days later.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I took the L. It was like a, I think it was like at the calf or something like that. I was like, oh, I didn't catch your name or whatever.
Oh man. The funny thing about that is I think girls think that, oh, so you just a player, huh? You got so many girls. You just can't remember it. I'm like, oh, I'm right. Just a fucking moron. Like, I don't remember. I don't have good memory. You might've said I wasn't paying attention.
But I traditionally tell anyone, I would always tell anyone that it's not a lie. I'm horrible with names. So like even on some homie type shit, like if we were ever out somewhere and I ran into somebody that I know, but I don't know their name, the way I do is, you know, and I do this with my wife too. Like I'll tell her, like if we run into someone, I'm like, all right, look, she knows that anytime I introduce her and I don't. And I don't say, hey, this is such, man, and such.
This is my wife. Well, yeah. This is my wife.
And she goes, oh, hey, I'm, you know, and then they go, oh, I'm such and such. I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, such and such. Yeah, this is, you know. Yeah.
Sometimes, like, the person you're accomplice, they're not good at it. Because, like, my thing is, like, I'm going to introduce you first because you're supposed to ask them and your name is. And then they're like, and then nobody does it. You're like, fuck, now what?
that's when you got to have the right teammates, bro. You got KYP, you got to know your personnel. Like you can't be out here with people that don't have your back on that type of shit.
Oh, by the way, I skipped the part where Larry tells Cheryl that he might have cancer in an effort to try and close the deal one more time with Cheryl.
Oh, that was dope.
Oh, man. He says to her, you know, I might have cancer. Yes, but it's cancer. It's cancer. He's repeating it. And he's trying to like basically say, like, how would you feel? Like, yo, if I have cancer, no, this might be one of our last times. Say, so you mean you want us to get together for 2 years until you die? And he said, yeah, I think it would be all right. And it reminded me of the episode. I don't know if y'all remember this episode when Wanda tells them that there's going to be a terrorist attack in LA, imminent. And you got to get out of town. You got to go to Palm Springs or whatever. But Cheryl says Cheryl's hosting a benefit dinner at their house with Alanis Morissette coming to play. And so Larry's like, well, I mean, I could leave and you could stay. And Cheryl says, so that you think that's a good idea? You'd be able to live life knowing that I died in a terrorist attack? And Larry says, I mean, it'd be hard at first, but I'd learn to get used to it. This shit had me rolling, man. It was just a classic Cheryl Larry interaction where he just, I don't know if he's not smart enough or not. Like, he just, don't know, like, don't say that shit. He just go ahead and say whatever the fuck on his mind, man. Love it.
Yo, I wasn't feeling the 180 she pulled at the lunch, though.
Hey, man.
Like, she starts off by telling him that, you know, they bring up the talcum powder.
Oh yeah. Next time, take a shower.
Bruh,
yeah,
he was trying to nah, cause no, as soon as you shower, it's time, she might slide. You got a split second.
But he's saying that she brought it up, like next time, just shower.
Oh, so
that would imply there's a next time.
But yeah. I'm saying in his mind, he thinking like a real nigga though. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's like you taking a shorty to the crib and you ain't got no joints. And then all of a sudden you like, but I can go to the gas station, it's right across the street. And she like,
nah, bruh. The second you go to that gas station, it's over. She's sleep.
Yeah. Nah, she ain't sleep. Yeah. She to the crib.
Or sleep.
Or sleep, yeah. Nah, but the sleep is still go, bruh.
That's why you gotta pick them up on the way back and you always gotta stop for Gatorade.
Whoa, Trey, what'd you say?
That's a lay if you wake her up.
Oh, no, man. Are you Bill Cosby out here?
If you wake her up.
Oh, come on now. Come on. Trey, did you say I don't give a fuck?
Wait, come on, man. Don't put them words in my mouth, big dog. You niggas is wilding.
You know what, my brother, I apologize.
My nigga, that's two times y'all done, like, said. Listen, the satellite's crispy over here, like the big homie say. You know what I mean?
Larry goes out on his date with the receptionist. And because of the PC climate, he does the most PC way of going about a date, like introducing every move before he actually does it. Like, would you be all right if I put my hand on your right shoulder? And then goes ahead and films it. Once they're on video, he tries to up the ante, trying to put his hand on her inner thigh or on her breast. She says no, at which point Larry says, seems we've reached a bit of an impasse. Oh, man, I thought that shit was funny, man. I don't know. And then the final note I have, and I know there's a lot of shit that happened in this episode, but this is the one note I had that, like, in bold and in caps. Why is Leon at the birthday dinner? No one else thought that was...
Because he's Leon.
But it's just so funny that he just inserts himself into all these things, and it's like, now it's just like, yeah, man, like, what's her name? Susie gonna have a birthday? All right, who's gonna be there? Richard Lewis and da-da-da-da. And Leon. And Leon just there.
Leon's the new Cheryl for him, though. Like, anywhere yeah. Larry's at, Leon's gotta be there.
Yeah, and also Leon's the only one that can talk to Larry in a certain way that he don't get mad. Like
he's the homie that keeps it real.
But it's just funny because half the time the shit he's saying is so ridiculous. But for whatever reason, Larry goes along with it. Like, yeah, you got a point. Like, what are you listening to this dude for, man? With his purple durag. Oh, the durag game has been very strong. Was there anything
speaking
else
of durags, man? Shout outs to Guap Dad.
Oh yeah. On the Grammy red carpet,
legend,
yeah, flourishing.
I
would
have did it that way, big dog.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, they didn't win. It would have been nice if they won, man. But you know what? Like they, unlike a lot of other people that go to the Grammys and like, oh, I didn't win that bullshit. They look like they had a good time, man. So I'm like, you know what, man? I'm glad for them. And I think like obviously what happened early in the day kind of took the wind out of it. Like you can't really afford to get upset about not winning a Grammy. The irony, of course, is that Cole won a Grammy, but was not there. He's in North Carolina.
Did he pull a Will Smith?
What, like boycott the Grammys? Yeah. He doesn't fuck with the Grammys.
Good for him. Good for him, man.
That wasn't an accident. That's love.
Shout out to your little courtside candidacy too, man. That was pretty cool.
Oh man, it's a funny story because I didn't even know. Like,
do we have time for the story?
Yeah, it's a quick story. Like, legit, what happened was I hit him up because I knew he wasn't going to be in LA. Everybody was in LA, so I'm like, yo, where are you watching? And I knew he was in New York, so where are you watching the Zion game? And he said, oh man, I'm going to the Knicks game. I got tickets. So I'm like, oh, he said, you want to come? I said, sure. And my stupid ass thought we were going to be in a suite. Because ICM, which is the agency that reps both of us, they have suites. Like, they have one at Staples, they have suites. So I'm like, oh, we're gonna. So I just showed up, whatever. I didn't even comb my hair or whatever.
No, the cat hair was looking decent, my man.
Yeah. Was it? It looked
to
me, it looked
really
good. Hey,
nah,
hilarious.
Nah, you didn't look tricky, dog. I would have told you look like shit. Because that other time you was wearing that beanie, I was pissed off. You was looking real N-wordish.
that was the desired effect.
Yeah, it was the T.I. It was the T.I.
when
the legend
came
swag.
To Philly? You mean when he came to Philly and then hollered at me? Oh, okay.
Look at Jerv.
What's Jerv saying?
He said, when you came to Philly, you didn't holler at me.
When you came to Philly, you ain't holler at me. You put a watch.
I did less than a watch because I turned around like in 12 hours. I showed up, went to the game, and I didn't even stay for the end of it. Literally, LeBron scored the point that went past the thing, and then I was like, all right, I'm out. Rushed to 30th Street Station, got on a train, was back in New York by midnight.
I mean, I like axe throwing.
Man, listen.
Hey, you want to wake up early in the morning for that?
I mean, hey, man, when your friends are in town, you know, you do things that you don't normally do. But hey, you know, that's the day, I guess.
I'll let you know next time I'm in Philly.
Dude, I've known you for this long, and this is the first time I ever remember you being at a Sixers game. And I don't think you're going to ever come back unless they go to the finals.
Awkward pause. Hey, I love a mean dog. Even if he wasn't trying to be a jerk, he is our Larry David, bro.
Support for Black Opinions Matter comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Rob, you won't believe this, man, but, like, back when I was first, you know, this is first going through puberty, first starting to grow things in that region, believe it or not, I used to use actual scissors. Scissors, like the sharp kind that seamstresses use, because my mom had a crazy sewing skit. So I used to use those really sharp scissors. And even though I was being very careful, I came, man, closer than you would even think to catastrophic results, Rob. And so that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts, bruh, which is huge, because who wants bloody balls? Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you do your balls. That's just disgusting. Manscaped has also the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant that I happen to use today, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not put deodorants on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BOM at manscaped.com at checkout. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code BOMBOMB at manscaped.com at checkout. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code BOMBOMB at checkout.
Let's talk about your favorite show, man, transitioning on. It sounds like we lost power, but then we have power on this show. Jerv, talk about it.
That shit sucked.
Like, all right, tell us why you mad, son.
Because I don't know, man. Like, I bigged it up last week. I gave it all this props. I thought it was well written. And this one, it was just like, I don't know. Like, all right, I'm about to sound like a real creep, but they, oh God, I'm going to sound like a creep. They promised me nudity in this one. There was no fucking nudity, right? Like, the first thing it said was nudity. I was like, oh, all right, power, you know, whatever the case may be. And this sounds creepish, but, like, I don't know. I expected a certain type of episode. I'm tired of seeing Tate get it the fuck in. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a Tate fan. He all of a sudden... Dude, listen, man, like, I don't know. Like, sometimes it be like that. I don't know. I did think it was dope that his brother played his brother on the fucking show. I thought that was pretty cool. But then I don't know. Like, I thought the show was whack. I guess I'm just ready for this shit to end. I remember how they painted Tate last season walking to, which I assume was truth. They made it seem like he was one of the people that was going to walk to kill him. But that shit was nothing but, like, more than four steps. And he's got I don't know. Like, I thought it was corny how I just did not like how they decided to do his story at all. And he pulls the whole fucking Obama card and acts like he's. I don't know. Like, he's not fucking Obama, right? Like, yo, you're a dirty cop that decided to become a politician, and all of a sudden, you know, you're hopping out police cars. You got a gun on you. You take two steps, and then all of a sudden, you know, that was the moment that we watched. That was so theatrical, so dramatic at the end of last season, and I just felt his episode was a letdown, right? Like, they introduced again. In true power fashion, they introduced this whole new cast of characters in his brother, his wife, the son, and they're this integral part because the brother ends up killing another two characters, which we're introduced to, which is Cedric the Entertainer and his son, who's, by the way, the most moron of morons. He's like, what was the dude name from Breaking Bad? That was dumb. That was like,
I've never seen that show, big dog.
Oh, come on, man.
Is it you fire? Breaking.
I think we had this conversation, actually, so I shouldn't be that shocked. It's a dope show.
they're running it all over AMC now because they're, you know, they're bringing back Better Call Saul, and they're doing the Netflix show, which I forget what it's called, the movie that they ended up doing off of Breaking Bad. So it's there if you want to watch it, bro. Like, you know what I mean? It's definitely a dope show. It's worth the time and everything. But the son was such a fucking moron. He, as soon as he took the gun out, I was like, oh, all right, well, he's going to shoot the load way too fucking fast. You know what I mean? Like, Sed's trying to put him on the how to kill, and he gets to the window, and he takes a shot before Sed even sets up.
Yeah. The fact that they even snuck Sed the Entertainer in there, big dog, is just like, bruh, I was tapped.
That was him the whole time. That was him the whole time. Like, the last couple episodes where we saw a dude dead on the ground. That's been him the whole time.
Really?
Has it been him the whole time? That's what I'm asking. Has it been him?
That's going to be my next question. When we saw, because I do remember when Tommy
We've seen dude on the ground in like two or three different episodes, right? We've seen it in the last episode when Tommy ran by and said, you're not an Italian. We've seen it in Tommy's episode, and now we've seen it in this episode. And I don't remember it being Cedric the Entertainer in the last two episodes. I just don't.
I feel like I would have noticed it, but in, right. I mean, it could, but Rob, it could have been, because in true Twitter fashion, all I saw for the last two episodes was Sed's got to be the worst hitman ever. So I guess that was Sed, and maybe because we weren't expecting him, or we didn't, you know, they didn't set it up. We didn't realize it. But again, I have a problem with the fact that Sed, who's painted to be, you know, if you're calling this dude from DC, he must be this legendary hitman, right? So he gets there and Tommy just takes him out that easy.
This is my point from last week. And this is my point too with cousin. Why are we bringing in all these supposedly badass people, the mafia from last week, now this ultimate hitman, and just killing him one episode? I mean, like, what's the point? Like, thematically, like, from a plot, like, this is definitely just like, okay, let's see how many things we can do at the end of the season to wrap everything up. And it's like, all right, well, Sed's not getting a spinoff. We're probably not going to get a spinoff with the mafia family. We're probably not going to do anything. We might do something with Tate's family, but I mean, who wants to watch, you know, I mean, it might be interesting though, a Dirty Politician as its own show. But at the same time, it's like, why? You know what I'm saying? To your point, Jerv, why? 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 Why is Tommy able to take dude out so quick? You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing with what's his name's when dude came to his door. Tommy took this dude out like that? Come on.
But he can't kill Ghost.
Exactly. Come on. Or what's his name? Or dude that had the ankle monitor. I forget his name. Oh my God. Dre. He can't kill Dre either. You know what I mean? He can't kill Ghost. He can't kill Dre. But you know what I mean? He brings the He brings the machine gun for
Proctor.
For Proctor. He brings, you know, he stabs his cousin, you know, in the neck and the throat, gets rid of him. He's so shook about this Italian family. And it's like, what, man? Like, what are we doing? Like, this Tommy, like, it just doesn't make sense, right? From what it's supposed to be.
But again, like we've been saying for the last, 2 years of doing this shit, it's not surprising that power does not make sense, right? Like, honestly, bruh, again, I bigged them up last week. I thought it was a well-written show last week. I really enjoyed it. I had my problems with it. And then I feel like, you know, this was the look-ahead game, I guess, right? But, I mean, I think it's obvious who killed Ghost at this point, right?
Is it?
It's Tariq. It's Tariq. Tariq had to kill
out of the last three.
It had to be Tariq.
Yeah, I think it has to be Tariq out of the last three. But it's gonna be some weird shit where
that's
it's like
a
Tariq.
Bitch ass son, man.
They're gonna do an episode. I'm assuming there's only two episodes left. I don't know if they're doing all three. Is it one? I'm not sure. I thought it was. I'm not sure. I got to check the calendar, but I'm assuming they're gonna do something where they do Tariq and his mom in the same episode and do like an extended hour 30 minute. You know what I mean?
Well, if it is two, then what they'll do next week is they'll exonerate Tasha. We'll know that Tasha didn't do it. And then it'll be between Sax and Tariq. And it has to be Tariq because, again, this is if Ghost is a politician, and anyone that's been to anything, whether it be a sporting event or some sort of political event, you know, it's damn near impossible to get into these shits if you're not on the list. So it's got to be someone on the list.
There's one episode left. and it's not for 2 weeks. It's Sunday after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it can't be. I just assumed it wouldn't be this week or whatever. So if with one episode left, with three characters left, I think what they'll do is they'll let us know it's not Tasha very early.
It's going to be a long episode too.
Oh God.
You already know, dude. They're already doing those three are left. It's going to be at least an hour and a half, I'd assume.
Anything over an hour and a half, I'm out on.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that for longer than an hour and a half. I mean, and like you said, like this episode, like I found myself at points like not even paying attention, like just listening, because it's just like it doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like they made him look mad, like tough, to your point, like torturing that dude and everything. Like it looked awesome. It looked like he was a badass. And then like, and then everything with Tate, right? His story that day, it's just all convoluted. Like we're doing this, he's going here, he's talking to this person, he's trying to get back in the campaign, but then he doesn't want to be in the campaign. It's like
all of a sudden he's an alcoholic.
Right. Like we've had this dude on the show for like 4 years now. What are we doing?
He's never taken a drink in 4 years, I believe. Or he might have had a drink. And now all of a sudden he's an alcoholic. And the bartender's like, your brother's here again. Is he drunk? Is he drunk again? It's like, this is this man's MO, but we've never known this for 4 years. The one part of the show that I actually did like, though, was said when he was vibing to all the quote-unquote white music. And his son
being funny.
Yo, can we listen to some black music? Instead, just breaking it down, which is absolutely 100% true. Line dancing, that ain't shit, but just the electric slide. The banjo came from wherever he said it came from. So everything, for the most part, is black music. Like, it all derives from black music, basically, in a nutshell. So I thought that was dope. Not dope. I thought that was funny. But other than that, I could have really done without this episode. I don't really think Tate needed his own episode. They probably could have being that there's only one episode left, they probably could have combined this episode with Sax or Tasha or something like that.
Yeah, I think they did these out of order. Like, they didn't build it right.
So I'm off of it. Just get this shit over with. Let me know who killed him. It's like, again, I compare it to True Blood all the time. I loved that show for a while. Then it got super duper corny. And it became to a point at the end where I was like, I just have to watch this shit so that I can put closure and know how this ends so that I can go on with my life and never care about this show ever again.
Guys are terrible at taking care of their health, man. Whether it's a knee injury, a back injury, or something even worse, guys are usually more comfortable just rubbing some dirt on it. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Can you even believe that? Something that important? Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for erectile dysfunction online. Roman is a one-stop shop where you can chat with a licensed U.S. physician who can treat ED and, if safe and appropriate, ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/BOM, complete an online visit, chat with a doctor, and if the doctor decides that it would be safe and appropriate, they'll shift the genuine medication right to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Guys, go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really simple. So take care of it, man. Seriously, your lady's going to appreciate this. Or your guy, you know. Who knows? For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/BOM. That's GetRoman.com/BOM for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/BOM.
But I was going to say, moving on, I had nothing as far as on Power. I'm with Jerv, but I definitely wanted to, I was going to tell Jerv to finish it out and get some closure with it so that we can have a fire closure of it and give, like, either we wasted our time these past 3 years or, it was all worth it. So we'll find out. But like Amin mentioned earlier on in the show that, you know, we were going to, talk about some sad stuff. Unfortunately, the passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and a few others that we may not name. But respect to those victims. And just kind of highlight, you know, Jerv, your father of a young baby girl, just kind of like your reflection and your takeaways from Sunday and how you've been the past couple of days, you know, reflecting on that. And then some funny Kobe moments.
As everyone knows, anyone that follows me on Twitter, anyone that's ever had a conversation with me about the Bean, I was not the biggest Kobe fan. I think we've had this conversation before about me making jokes about how he's from Lower Marion, this, that, and the third. And that was just the vibe in Philly, right? But I'll say that my wife and the oldest, we're sitting there, we're playing Monopoly. And my buddy calls me and he's like, yo, did you hear that Kobe just died? Right. And I, you know, instantly I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Right. Like, no, that didn't happen. Let me call you back. Let me Google. I Google. I don't see anything. Right. Because I don't want to type in Kobe's death or Kobe died or anything like that, because, you know, you'll get every fake news type shit that you can possibly imagine. So I don't see anything. I call my boy back. I curse him out. And he goes, yo, no, you got to type in Kobe news. And I type in Kobe news. And the first thing I see is the TMZ report. I turn to ESPN. I don't see anything. I turn to ESPN2. I don't see anything. I then turn to CNN and I don't see anything. And then again, I call my homie back and I'm like, yo, like, don't play around like that, bro. Like, this shit's not funny. So then he's like, yo, it's true. It's beyond true. So then I think at that point, my wife goes, yo, just leave CNN on, because I'm just like, yo, I'm cussing like a sailor. I'm like, nah, get the bleep out of here. And, you know, you know how it is when someone's going hype on a phone conversation and everyone's not in the conversation. They're all just like, yo, what happened? What happened? What happened? So at this point, you know, I say it to my wife and we see it on CNN, and instantly I just get beyond like sad. And my oldest is just sitting there and she's like, well, why are you sad? You didn't know him. And then my wife's trying to teach her empathy and different things at that level of just reacting to certain things, because she's only 11, about to be 12. So she doesn't understand certain things. And as CNN goes to the chopper and they're showing us the area, it becomes more surreal and real, to a level that I could not even understand. At that point, my wife, she gets a little upset and she goes, oh my God, his wife and his children, you know, she goes from a mother standpoint of now they're going to be alone. And, she gets real quiet. And she's like, yo, I need to take a nap. So I instantly, you know, I do the dad move and I'm like, all right, look, you know what? I need to run to Target. I'm going to take the kids with me. You take a nap, you know, you get some rest or whatever. And as I'm driving, you know, I turn on sports radio and I hear that his daughter is on the, was on the plane, was on the chopper with him. And I instantly shed a tear. I start to think about as a father and as a knowing the type of person that he has evolved into, right? Like, he was the Mamba. He was this killer on the court. And then over the last couple of years of his career, you watch him become this human, I guess, right? Like, this person who's having fun and, you know, really seeing the impact that he's had on the game just in general with all like the youngins in the league just loving him, right? And and more importantly for me, how important being a father was to him. And I'm nothing more than a civilian, a normal human being with a regular job, and I know how hard it is for me to just be everywhere I want to be with, again, with the oldest playing basketball, wanting to be at everything that she does, but wanting to be back in enough time so that I can put the youngest to bed, and knowing how hard that is, and knowing that this man is 100 times more busy than I am, and knowing how he's everywhere with his daughter, especially with Gigi. And I think I've never held Haven more than I've ever held her in my life at that point in time. And, you know, we go to Target, we're walking around, and, you know, Target's connected to a mall. We're walking around the mall and I'm just holding Haven. Like, Haven's never been as light to me as she was that day. Usually I have a stroller with me and I don't have a stroller. I'm hugging her. I'm holding her. And we get back to the house. My wife is still asleep. And I begin to just watch ESPN for the entire time. And the one interview that stuck out to me the most, and I even think I talked about it on the gram, was Jalen Rose. And the one thing that I want anyone that's listening to this pod to just take away from this is that Jalen Rose's story about his beef that he had with his pop and everything just put a lot of shit in perspective for me. And I just want anyone listening to this pod to just understand that if you do nothing, if you never listen to anything I've told you to do or suggested or whatever, just anyone that you love, anyone that you care about, please, for the love of whatever God that you may or may not believe in, please just hug them. Tell people you love them. There's no beef that's that deep. I think I saw Kendrick Perkins reach out to KD on Twitter. And, you know, I mean, just love people, man, because good Lord, like, tomorrow is so cliche, but tomorrow is 100% not promised. And one thing that my household that we've always done, bruh, is my family was very big on telling each other that we love each other. Every single time that I would leave my family, I always tell them I love them. And it was nothing more than because I know plenty of people that have gone out and never come back home. And I know, Trey, I know you can relate to that as well. And Rob, you know, I'm sure you can too. But please just tell people you love them. Because Kobe's death hurt me in a way where I never thought that a celebrity's passing could hurt me. Mainly because he is from Philly. Growing up in the same era, he was a senior when I was a freshman. I was around hoop players all my life. I know plenty of people in the city that were impacted by his death. And I just want people to understand, man, like, just tell somebody you love them. If you love somebody, please don't wait till tomorrow to tell them. Tell them today. Give them a hug. You know what I mean? Because it's just crazy, man. And I did not sleep that night. I cried. I cried last night. And to be honest with you, I'm probably going to cry again tonight because it's just real, man. Like, dude was amazing. And the work that he's been doing, I know people that work for the Mamba Academy. And I instantly thought about, well, damn, how are their lives going to be impacted? And, you know, now his wife is growing up with, she's got to go on with three daughters. You know, she lost a husband and a daughter. And the families that were on the plane, like, their lives are impacted, man. And it's just crazy.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's definitely had an impact, like you said. Especially us not knowing Kobe, but for the last 20 years, if you're of age, you've seen this man perform on the highest stage level, at high tenacity, for the past 20 years, from 1996 to 2016, he's given his all. He never cheated the game. And I think that's why it's one of those icon felt deaths. The Tupacs, the Prince, the Michael Jacksons, the Whitney Houstons, you know, It's worldwide felt, and it's unfortunate, you know, the Nipsey Hussles, et cetera, that we lost someone very close in the hoop community as well as the world. Like, not only was he a basketball great, he was a father first. And I think that's what humanizes him and puts him on a regular level with the average person walking this earth. And if you have a child, after you probably got that news and then heard that he died with his child, it just made you want to hug someone really close and really tight and not let them go. It's a scary situation and thought to think their last moments of potentially, normally, say you're on a flight with your daughter and some turbulence happens, you can kind of put your arm on your daughter and say, hey, it's going to be okay. But in this particular situation where you have no control of the situation of saying things will be okay, I think that's the toughest situation. And I think, man, it's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, and you incorporate that, any human's going to actually cry, whether they liked him or not. And the fact that he was only beginning the second part of his life as fatherhood, you know, and being more active in his children's lives because he had the free time to do so, he won't no longer be able to do that. And, you know, I think the biggest takeaway from this all is it has genuinely brought people together, but the main focus has been time. Time is more important than money. Time is something you can't get back. When you give someone time, that's love. And in certain situations, man, you look at it like the time spent. I mean, I hope when people are tuned in and listening to this and can deeply take this message in, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, is that when you're spending time with your loved ones, don't take advantage of it. Because we're so arrogant and, you know, naive about expecting to have the next day or the next month or the next year to plan something when we don't know if we're going to open our eyes or get that opportunity. So make the best of it every single time you open your eyes and when you close your eyes, and make it count. I mean, Kobe did. He made it count every potential time of the day. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I literally, before I recorded this pod, I got Kobe's numbers tattooed on my wrist. And, man, it's definitely going to be a part of me now, man, like not to cheat my days when I got it. That's all I got to say, man.
I think, Trey, the last thing I wanted to just add, I mean, you definitely touched on what I wanted to say about the, as a father, one thing that we are, instilled in to tell our children is that everything's going to be okay, right? Like, no matter what happens, it's going to be okay, baby. I got you, right? And to know that, you know, but to think that, you know, at that moment, you can't say that to your kids. As a father, I can't imagine not being able to tell any one of my daughters that it's going to be okay, right? But the last thing that I have is that, I'm with you, man. If I'm taking anything from him, if I'm taking anything just from the moment, it's that I'm making a vow, and I do promise to live the rest of my life to the best of my ability with a Mamba mentality. And I explained to my daughter yesterday what Mamba mentality was, and it's just, you know, whatever you're doing, however hard you went. It's like that commercial he had, right? Like, how you can always do more. So, you know, I was talking to her about hoop, and ironically, she wears number 24. And I told her that, you know, when you're playing ball, if you want to get better, if you're studying for a test, if you want to be whatever it may be in life, if you feel as though that you've worked really, really hard, just know that you can always do more. So I know for me, like you said, Trey, like for me, I'm vowing to live the rest of my life with a Mamba mentality, because I know that in my 39, going on 40 years at the end of this year, 2020, I know that I have not lived every day to the fullest. I've definitely taken days off, and that has hurt me and impacted a lot of facets of my life. But I'm not doing that anymore, because I made a promise to myself, and I'm making a promise to my family and friends that for the rest of my life, that I'm always going to do more. And I'm going to live with this Mamba mentality.
All right, Rob, I think that's good enough to close it out. This has been a episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. I'm Black Trey, for Amina Hassan, for Big Jerv, for Rob Lopez on the ones and twos. Thank you for tuning in.
You're worried about your own team. You're coaching your daughter's team.
I am. They're doing well, though. I mean, they've been playing for like a year and a half.
What's their record?
They don't have seasons. It's crazy. They just have tournaments like every weekend.
I see. And if they don't win the tournaments, do they have to sleep in the yard or anything like that? Or?
No food for a week.
Yeah, because if anyone, if that anyone would think like that, yeah. I would think it would be the mama mentality.
We're half a minute to play. Bryant for the lead. Yes!
Our daughters, Natalia, Gianna, and Bianca. You know, you guys know that, you know, if you do the work, you work hard enough, dreams come true. But hopefully what you get from tonight is the understanding that those times when you get up early and you work hard, those times when you stay up late and you work hard, those times when you don't feel like working, you're too tired, you don't want to push yourself, but you do it anyway, that is actually the dream. That's the dream. It's not the destination, it's the journey. If you guys can understand that, then what you'll see happen is that you won't accomplish your dreams. Your dreams won't come true. Something greater will. And if you guys can understand that, then I'm doing my job as a father. Thank you guys so much. I love you. And, Mamba out.